We are in Russia's southern region of Astrakhan, where the mighty Volga flows into the Caspian Sea, forming the largest estuary in continental Europe, which means it's a great place to learn about fish. Alexei, thank you for bringing us out here. I think we have the best office in all of Russia today, at least the best view, more relaxed. As a fisherman, I have a couple questions to ask you. First of all, I've heard that it's best to go fishing at dawn. Why is that?
That's because fish get very hungry overnight. Also, in summer, the water cools down by dawn, and that's when predatory fish become more active.
Now, I know that you have some rules as fishermen that you go by. One of them is to release younger fish or smaller fish when you catch them. Are there any other rules that are mandatory for you?
We release younger fish as well as very large specimens that can produce a lot of offspring. So we release smaller fish than the minimum allowed standard, and also large fish useful for reproduction.
I know that sometimes fishermen have superstitions, like maybe eat a big meal before you go out so that you can get a big catch. What types of superstitions or traditions do you guys have?
Like all devout fishermen, we never bring fish with us when we go fishing.
What do you think that people should understand or should know about what you do out here?
Firstly, people should have an appreciation of the Volga River. They should act responsibly, keep it clean. And if they do that, nature will take care of the rest.
From the humble beginnings of food of fishermen to a symbol of the elite and wealthy, we've come to one of the best farms in the world to see how black caviar is made. So this is really cool to be able to see how this is done. Thank you for bringing us out here. So I have to ask, what kind of a fish is a sturgeon and why do they like the Caspian Sea so much?
Sturgeons belong to a group of ancient fish. Do you know that the sturgeon has no bone skeleton? It has bone material on the outside and what's inside is cartilage. Cartilage is what holds it together and it's on the surface of its body that it has bony plates and scales. Why do they love the Caspian Sea? Because at 13 per mile, it has minimal salinity and is home to the sturgeon's food chain. We're talking about mollusks and clupeidae, natural food for sturgeon.
I've heard that they're kind of like dinosaurs, that they have remained these ancient creatures. How have they stayed with us so unchanged for so long?
It's true that they once lived among dinosaurs. They adapt easily and are immune to disease. This resilience has helped them survive to this day.
Now, I understand that they kind of have a navigation system of their own, that they go out to the Caspian Sea, but they always return to where they were born so that they can give birth themselves. Talk to me a little bit about that process.
Yes, they do have a so-called homing ability, where fish born in a specific type of water come back to it to spawn. Sturgeons are anadromous fish, which means they mature and spend most of their lives at sea, but come back to the place where they were born, or where they hatched, to use the technical term, for breeding purposes.
You say that you treat your sturgeon here with love and care in this farm system, but a farm system is still not a natural system. Talk to me a little bit about the differences and how are they treated with love and care?
Yes, it's true that it's not the same as a natural habitat. However, we do everything we can to make sure that the conditions here match those in the wild. They have a natural flow-through system. We use water from the Volga, and we give them their typical food, such as the Caspian Sea sprat and herring.
Now, I understand that they're going to get really hot if they stay up here in the shallow water. Should we give them a rest?
Yes, let's do it.
Thank you. So I know that a sturgeon doesn't produce caviar until it's at least 15 years old, maybe. So tell me about the adolescence. What happens in the first 15 years of a fish's life?
Russian sturgeons first spawn when they reach 14 years of age. Males reach maturity at 12. We have several species of sturgeon here at this farm. Apart from Russian sturgeon, we have beluga and bastard sturgeon, which is a rare and unusual type. All of them mature at different ages. Beluga mature between 16 and 18 years of age, almost like humans. Until that time, the fish are kept in ponds where they grow, around the age of 3 or 5 for beluga, when their sex can be identified and males can be distinguished from females. They are placed into separate ponds until they reach maturity.
Now you practice what you call lifetime caviar production. What does that mean? Is it akin to giving childbirth in some sort of a way?
The no-kill harvesting method, which allows us to milk the fish without killing it. By the time of their first spawn, sturgeons undergo annual assessment to establish their production capacity. Each spring and fall, we pull the fish out, check their size and weight, and do an ultrasound. The ultrasound helps us see the development stage of the roe. Once it reaches stage 4, we know the fish can be transferred to the spawning pond. As a rule, since we imitate a natural environment, our fish get ready for harvesting in May, which would be a natural time in the wild. So each May, we have fish that are ready to produce eggs all lined up and waiting for their turn. We perform a minor surgery. It's a tiny bloodless incision, and then we massage or milk the eggs out. These eggs are then either sent to be processed for caviar at our factory in Astrakhan or fertilized so that we can get larvae and juveniles, which we also raise here.
A couple different questions here. First of all, how long do sturgeon live and how many times can they give caviar in their lifetime?
Russian sturgeon live for 50 years. The beluga sturgeon is a long-living fish with a lifespan of around 100 years. We have a 50-year-old beluga at our farm.
So due to overfishing, the sturgeon population has become an endangered species. Is it safe to say that the only way that people can get caviar now is through a farm system like yours?
That's not entirely true. Sturgeons do live in the wild. There are scientific institutions in Russia that make this happen. There's also a state program designed to increase the wild sturgeon population. Fish hatcheries breed young fish to replenish the sturgeon population in natural environments.
And I understand that you have a rule here at your firm that you release a certain number of young sturgeons so that they can go out into the wild and naturally live. When does that process take place and how does that work?
We have a special program that has been implemented for over a decade now. It's called Sturgeons Past, Present and Future. We're trying to engage children to show them that there's a unique species of fish that lives in the Caspian Sea. We want them to be able to touch it, to take it in their hands and release it into the Volga. That's why on June 1st, on International Children's Day, we hold an annual event to release fish into the river and invite school children to participate. The number of fish released is different every year, but it always takes place on June 1st.
Thank you for bringing us into the facility to see how this is all done. It's kind of fascinating for me to watch. What makes good quality top-end caviar?
First of all, as we all know, good products only come from top-quality raw materials. The time gap between the farm and caviar production facility is minimal because only the caviar that goes immediately into processing is considered high-grade. And a good product also requires skill and experience from the staff involved in the process.
And this may sound like a strange question, but I've heard that you can actually hear caviar. What do they mean by that? What do you hear?
If you take a jar of caviar, for example, you need to make sure it's full to the brim. Shake it like this, and if you don't hear a gurgling sound in the jar, then you can be sure the product is of high quality and you can buy it. But if there is some noise or gurgling, I don't recommend buying it.
Now, caviar comes in different colors. It comes from a golden brown to the black caviar that we see right here in front of us. What makes caviar have different looks.
Caviar has a natural pigment. It is located on the membrane of the roe. Hence, the color range and palette are so rich. The color of caviar also depends on the species and breed of the fish. If the caviar is obtained from the sturgeon, then the shades of yellowish green, greenish, and brownish, dark tones will prevail in the color palette. And if the caviar is obtained from beluga, then it strictly ranges from light gray to gray. If the caviar is obtained from sterlet sturgeon, then it can also have shades from light gray to black. It's such a rich color palette.
So someone who tastes wine, a good sommelier, can tell the region that it's from, can tell the age of the vineyard. What can you tell from the taste of caviar? What can a good caviar sommelier tell from the fish itself?
All the caviar we process comes from mature sturgeons. The fish eggs are dense and firm. They should all be uniform, of the same color and size, so a knowledgeable person can easily spot any defects.
Now, I know that you've prepared all of this for me, so thank you very much. I'm going to take this and see how much I can eat tonight. Yelena, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. There's a lot we can talk about fish.
Hello. I'll be more than happy to tell you everything you want to know.
So there's an idea that caviar, specifically sturgeon's caviar, is good for your health. Is this true?
The thing is that black caviar is a product that, like no other, is rich in micronutrients and vitamins. Caviar is also exceptionally rich in protein, and all of that protein is easily digestible, which means that 97% of its protein content will be fully digested by our systems. Caviar also contains a lot of healthy fatty acids like omega. Everyone has heard of that one. And caviar is also exceptionally rich in a particular variety of the omega-3 fatty acids called DPA that is particularly good for cerebrovascular health and for the immune system.
Yelena, what about the size of the fish? There's an idea that eating smaller fish is better than bigger fish because of mercury content. So talk to me about that.
Yes, Sean, you're right about that. It's not just an opinion. It's a proven fact that bigger fish have a higher mercury content than smaller ones. But it's important to remember that what we're talking about is some very big fish indeed, like sharks or swordfish or tuna, because tuna can be really huge, or very big catfish or pike. To avoid health problems, it's recommended to eat no more than 0.5 pound of such fish per week.
What about salt water versus fresh water? There's an idea that salt actually disinfects the fish and gets rid of parasites, whereas fresh water leaves all of those impurities in. Is there a truth to this idea?
Right. You see, the important thing to know is that both saltwater and freshwater fish have parasites when it's raw, uncooked fish. But if you cook it properly, it will be completely harmless and safe to eat. The key is to cook the fish properly, whether you boil it, stew it, or fry it, or bake it. Just do it until it's well cooked.
Thank you for bringing us into your lab. You are doing things with fish that is kind of thinking outside of the box. For example, the scales and the bones of fish, things that we think of as a waste product. You're doing some creative things with. Tell me about that. What can we do with fish bones and scales?
You see, fish skin, scales, and bones are rich in collagen. And all this waste can be put to good use. Not by households, of course, but by enterprises like ours, producing some very valuable products.
Since these parts of the fish are rich in collagen, it's naturally a product we can extract in various forms. One of the things we produce is edible collagen. It's a recent innovation. It's been discovered and researched over the last 2 decades, so it's a fairly new product. First of all, it's collagen peptides that help your system stay young. There's also gelatin that's used in the food industry for making desserts, candies, and so on. And fish gelatin is a halal product, which is also important.
So you mentioned gelatin. What makes gelatin made from fish byproduct better than original gelatin?
Gelatin can be produced from the bones of pigs and cattle, and from fish, too. Making fish gelatin is a new technology. While cows are prone to certain diseases, fish are not, and that's an important factor. It's a bioavailable substance that's easy to digest for humans.
I also heard you mention collagen. Now, I've heard that you can make edible packaging out of collagen. What does that look like? What does that mean? I mean, can I wrap an ice cream in this collagen packaging and be able to eat it?
Yes, we make film from these products. It's biodegradable, even edible packaging. By the way, a very important point is that it has no odor. Raw materials from fish have an odor that is very specific. We use multi-stage processing to remove this odor, and this film has no odor. Let's check whether there's an odor or not. I'm opening a can of collagen. This is the product. Is there an odor? No. And look, I also really like that it's very transparent. I mean, when it's at room temperature, it's like a liquid. But look, now it's cold. And look at the strength of it. It's a very, very dense jelly. And there's a huge amount of amino acids. There are 6,000 units of amino acids in this product. And so we immerse it in water. And this is very important for low molecular weight collagen. It will dissolve very quickly. Right now, as we're talking, it will get completely dissolved. It's also very beautiful here when it's in the water like this. And while it's dissolving, I'm going to show you another type of collagen, cosmetic collagen. So we also have cosmetic collagen, which is used for the face. It's because food collagen is set up to synthesize our own collagen, and you will see the effect only after a month. Everybody wants to get younger really fast, but one pill doesn't make you younger. It's all about prophylactics. You need to take this product consistently. After the age of 40, you should constantly drink these amino acids that are like building blocks. This means that after 1 month, you will see the first results. Hair will grow well, skin will be more elastic, firmer, denser, nails will grow. I mean, everything that has to do with the skin. And this is cosmetic collagen. It gives you fast results. And as far as smell goes, this is a collagen-based serum. And look, let's do it. Can I see the back of your hand? So we're going to do the collagen toner first. We're going to create a moist environment because collagen is a moisturizer for the skin. And then we drip the collagen and spread it around. You will feel, first of all, there's no smell, like you said. I mean, it's a light scent of natural hydrolates. We combine plant hydrolates and collagen. And you just have to wait a little bit, because it's very concentrated substance. It's going to be sticky at first. Can you feel the stickiness? Now, just wait a little bit, and just like that. And you're going to notice that your skin feels different. Can you feel that?
Smooth. I feel younger already.
We're just dissolving the low molecular weight collagen. There's just a little bit here, and it's going to dissolve. Okay, I'm going to give you a treat.
Okay, here goes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's try it. Tastes like water. doesn't have any bad taste at all. Mm-hmm. And it's good for my body, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I should drink the whole thing.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We're not talking about an unpleasant smell or taste.
I already feel younger. All right.
Just a little bit of acidity. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit sour.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to make it tasty.
So now I'm going to live longer because I have that glass.
Yes, of course.
I've heard not just for cosmetics, but for other medical benefits as well. For example, burns, that tilapia skin can actually help heal burns. Is that true only for tilapia skin, or is that other fish as well?
Any fish can be suitable. Because the skin is the covering tissue, it is also collagen. That is the active ingredient, the structural unit that benefits. It's collagen. And you can get it from different products. We use our fish from Astrakhan, the Volga-Caspian Basin, because we work here. I was born here. I grew up here. I studied here. My grandfather was a fisherman. My father is a fisherman. So we know our fish. We have a lot of diversity, a lot of fish. And the composition of species is changing. There's aquaculture, there's what's artificially grown, but the essence does not change.